I guess we should get started. So, welcome everyone. Today's session would be strategy and funding with, like, hopefully more emphasis on strategy. Hopefully funding will tack on and naturally drops out from a good strategy. The reason for calling this is one, I think, we could easily become irrelevant if we keep on doing what we're doing. Not because I felt that way, but because, I mean, if we look at how interested we are, I mean, in getting people to attend OOR meetings versus, for example, meetings at the Ontolog Forum where a more current or issue is being discussed. That's number one. Even when OOR is part of those discussions, we tend to get more people in those meetings. Like in standards, in the earth and environmental sciences, ontology, dialogue, and so on. And in contrast, in things that we had been trying to get people's attention on, like OOR content, which essentially would be the same thing, except it's maybe labeled differently. A similar session will only get very little attention. So maybe we're doing something wrong. Maybe it's not strategy. Maybe it's just tactics. But it's good timing to sort of bring this up among the core members who are on this call now to see how we could maybe tweak our approaches a little bit. We are actually, OOR is more relevant than ever, if you ask me, given, let's say, all the excitement on big data, big everything. The funding that's going into the recent excitement that we are conjuring up with the ontology-based standards, and I guess the excitement on this earth science ontology dialogue, which of course is helped definitely with huge NSF funding behind it. So that's, I guess, a preamble.
So you just want to start like brainstorming now?
Yes, might as well. I had outlined a sort of seven-step classic strategic planning process. Not so much that we should go through each of the seven steps, but I mean, it would be relevant to sort of brainstorm against that backdrop. So it's focusing on strategic analysis, setting a direction, and formulating tactics and plan actions would probably the three of the seven steps we want to work on. I mean, I'm looking below purple number 3HMW now. So,
well, I think we need to kind of figure out exactly what is the role of sessions like this, right? Is it directed towards OOR as an artifact? So in other words, this is basically a kind of a loosely coupled software design team, or is it more issues based? Just, you know, generally, let's talk about issues related to ontology repositories. And then third, like you said, is the content aspect. And along those lines, I think it's almost like when it comes to content, a success for us would be where we're almost like invisible. Like there are policies loose policies, I'll put those in quotes, by which everyone who builds an ontology is encouraged to actually submit it to a repository. And we've, I know Oliver and I have kind of tossed this around even within like the association, you know, like encouraging or almost requiring, you know, papers are submitted to IAOA conferences if it is kind of submitted along an ontology track. In other words, it's about a particular ontology or set of ontologies that the authors need to guarantee that the ontologies they're using are in one of the OOR instances. Go back and, you know, kind of going back to previous conferences and trying to get authors to do that, even for papers that have already been published. But that's kind of like nothing that's really something that we would do in this session necessarily. Like I say, the success there would be invisible. So I think we need to focus on those other two points. You know, what is the role of this session? Is it a software development project, or is it a general forum or a forum for OOR specific issues?
Let me make one suggestion. Go ahead, Todd.
Michael, were those options mutually exclusive?
Not necessarily, but you can kind of see how, I mean, if sessions that are more about software development are going to have a lot less attendance because not everyone's going to be necessarily involved in the software side of things.
Right.
Right? I mean, like, you don't have Ontolog forums that, you know, are about software projects, getting a lot of people. The ones that get the highest attendance are the ones that are about general issues that capture a lot of different people's interests.
Yes. But in fact, haven't these OOR sessions been segregated along similar lines that you identified? Just the OOR sessions, though.
Mm. Right. Well, then we shouldn't be surprised that some are just a core team of people then.
Yes.
I
totally agree. So again, if everyone could capture exactly what he says onto the chat, I mean, that would be great.
Could we get those choices again?
Yeah.
Michael?
Yeah.
Right. Michael is typing. But let me also attempt to answer Michael. We're not talking about the next level of detail, but in any strategic planning exercise, let's sort of go up to the 50,000 feet level and look at OR, the whole initiative, as one of the designers, planners, conveners, whatever we want to call them. I mean, since almost everyone here is a core, hardcore member of this initiative now, let's look at that from that perspective. What are we doing right? What are we doing wrong? How should we do it better type of an assessment? That's number one. Number two, I don't think we can segregate that into, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, OOR is three things. It's an infrastructure project, it's a software project, it's a content project. But all in all, it's sort of a community-driven instance of those three things all rolled into one. So isolating either one trend would just be sort of exploring one facet of the complexity of the issue. So that's my take on the matter. It's open discussion. So everyone who says something, maybe I mean, still try to raise your hand just in case. And then everyone who says anything is responsible to capture that back onto the chat, if you please. Ken, since you're co-chair.
Oh, I'm typing something in now.
All right.
There's some more kind of roles that I would put in here. I mean, one of them is kind of the, I don't know if you consider that the infrastructure aspect, but there's just the standard. We want, and when we say OOR, you know, it should in fact also be a standard for compliance, so that different OOR instances which are, well, we always intended that there was going to be multiple implementations, would be able to interoperate and federate.
Right, but what happened to compliance with some design or operational constraints, as opposed to conformance to some ontological standards?
Well, I'm seeing it this more in terms of interoperability and federation.
Okay, so operational perspective.
So this is operational.
Okay. Hey, Peter, I put my 2 cents in there.
Tell us.
Project management.
Please elaborate.
Well, I think that's one of the things that these meetings do. They help us manage the project, move it along. That's one aspect of a strategy. How are you going to, manage the whole thing? Perhaps mundane, but very important.
Are you implying that we are getting less and less relevant because we are not managed properly?
No.
I mean, it could well be that, but then you might want to suggest how to rectify the situation.
Oh, well, given the fact that we have no funding, that's all volunteer, I don't see a better way forward. I think we've been doing pretty well given our constraints.
I just have a feeling if we continue to do what we have been doing in the past 4 years,
yeah,
we will not be around for another 4 years.
Just a second, I have to make a separate call. Something just popped up. Hold on.
Corey, wise
Corey,
efforts.
Yes,
We actually, I mean, you were there. I mean, with this ontology-based standards initiative, I see OOR as sort of an enabling artifact or enabling technology that would support that work. I personally don't see OOR as being standardization work.
Well, we just heard the words of compliance. And if there's compliance, it's complying with something. These are, you described it as infrastructure content. These are fundamental elements of an ontological approach. So I think saying that they're not standards is just kind of really ignoring the situation. Sometimes you need to get things going a bit before you go into a standards organization, and I think that may be appropriate, but that to really make this something that would have mainstream value and adoption, I think it would have to go into the standards process.
I sort of agree with you, but just playing devil's advocate, is there no room, to do this thing, without trying to be standard, but just building the artifact, building the infrastructure, building the content up, and then making it into a de facto standard by acclamation, something?
Frankly, I doubt that this group has the reach to do the kind of thing that you're describing. I think that standard processes that include those things, that include, open source implementations and work are more valuable and have a greater chance for success.
Right.
But on the other hand, doing it as just a work in the wild, I don't know what you'd call it at that point. If you look at the way the industry works, I just don't see any examples of such a thing having a profound impact.
Well, Corey?
Yes.
Couldn't it be
John
the case that...
John has his hand up?
Oh, I'm sorry. Excuse me.
Someone is...
John?
In the queue?
Yes. Yeah, please use the hand to cue yourself up. Also, there's one anonymous person. If you would morph into your real name, that would be great. John, your turn. Nobody is muted, so just speak up. Maybe drop
John
off.
On the call?
He's, doesn't seem to be on the call. Ah, he is now. John, yes. We weren't able to hear you just now. Can you, we still can't hear you.
Oh, John. No, I had some problem. I'm not using my regular telephone, and I had some problems, and I was trying to change anonymous to John Soa. And
okay, he can hear you now. So
okay, fine. So no problems.
Please go ahead. Well, is that your question?
No, no, I didn't have a question. I was trying to change my anonymous to John Soa, and I accidentally caused that hand raising to go up, and I couldn't remove it.
If you click on the hand again, it removes.
Well, yeah, but that okay. Anyway,
I'll do that for you. Okay.
Okay.
It changed, if you click on the actions button at the settings button, I'm sorry, at the top center of the window, then you could morph your name.
Okay. Settings well, button. Yeah. In any case, I'll just leave it that way. I haven't found the fiddling.
It's at the top center of the chat screen, not top center, not your browser, but there's a blue.
Okay. Red. Yes. Okay. I found it there. Okay. I'll change that.
Todd, sorry for the interruption.
Oh, that's okay. I typed my question to Corey in the chat box, and it had to do with just in terms of strategy. Corey's correct that we'd probably need some standards body to approve it, say okie dokie, to the effectively just the interface mechanisms or specifications. But we could still continue on with our development, and then when, you know, if you like, we've got some instances that we feel are adequate, we can then approach a standards body. And as Corey pointed out, if there's something already out there, it makes the whole process quicker, if I understood him properly.
Well, there are repositories out there.
No, approaching, but if we have a good running instance of OOR and we feel the specifications are sufficiently mature, whatever that might mean, then we could approach a standards body, whether it's OASIS or W3C or OMG, and say, well, look, we think this should be a real standard, so it facilitates the use of ontologies in general. What say you, Corey?
Well, first, I did say eventually in my initial comment, which I do think that there's a balance there. I think that waiting until you think it's done and running and it's perfect is too late. You know, standards organizations like to have a voice in what they standardize. I think that having it move forward a little bit further would make sense. I don't think this is something that has to be done immediately, but that as a strategy it would make sense. At the point that you have something that's almost a rough draft, so to speak, and there's probably more than one standard here. There's more than one part. So even a first part might be a roadmap, and then as pieces start to solidify, put them into the standards process at that point before they're cast in stone, but after they're just ideas.
Okay, well, that's why I qualified it with mature, whatever that means. So, yeah, I don't think we could ever wait for perfect, whatever that might be.
Right. I think waiting until you have running instances is probably a bit late also. It's a balance. Right? I think my only point is that to achieve that widespread acceptance that we should go through that process. But starting to think about it now, starting to think about presenting things as a roadmap, presenting things as a requirements RFP that would go through a standards organization might help solidify the process. In a community I've been involved in recently, the NEEM community, which, by the way, could benefit from from ontologies greatly. I mean, they've been running for 10 years, and they developed almost this cottage industry. And that, I think that that served against them. Whereas if they had been a little bit more open, engaged, and mainstream in the standards organizations, it would have helped them mature. And actually writing down the requirements as an RFP kind of helped them get over a, get to this next stage. So I think starting to think about it as something to go into standards processes may be good at this time, but I wouldn't suggest doing it yet.
John, did you lower your hand again? You were next. Okay, Peter here, since I am next. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, sure. Just again, playing devil's advocate. Corey, what you said sounds like to a hammer, everything looks like a nail. But if is OR really the suitable standards project that would optimally be developed under a very highly structured standards development process? I study in great detail, for example, the OASIS process, and I know something about, let's say, the ISO process and so on. But those are very specific. I mean, they do one thing. They drop out a standard at the end of the day after you toss things into the hopper. But if we try to build an infrastructure, if we try to build a software, or if we try to enlist content so that we build out a formidable size content, that would make sense, because I mean, the more content, the stronger the repository would be. Neither of them looks like a standard or a standards project or something that is optimally developed with a standards process. I mean, for example, for software and systems development, Mike Dean has previously suggested that, for example, the Apache Foundation would be a good role model. Apache obviously is not an SDO. For a standards, for an infrastructure project, we probably could find another suitable role model to follow. Or for a content project, I would think, let's say, the library scientists could point us the way. But none of those are really standards projects. So,
well, the infrastructure certainly isn't. Building the infrastructure certainly isn't a standards process, but the standards to which the infrastructure is being built is. And I think there's a lot of assumptions in OOR as to the, you know, the underlying structural and semantic model, the interfaces into those technologies. And what you're calling the content models themselves, I mean, you know, these are models. These are fundamental models. Some of them, not all of them. That I would certainly expect. I know in OMG they're just finishing up the date time, which is very related. It has a common logic representation. So I would think those fundamental vocabularies, ontologies certainly would be open for standards. I would think that the way you the underlying structure and interfaces to the repository itself should be based on standards. If they already exist, that's fine. If they don't. I just want to make sure that it's not a kind of a, you know, something off on itself. The actual building of the technology, I agree that something like Apache would be a nice home. So I think this is a combination of potentially standards and implementation work.
Thank you. Since Mike Dean, you have to leave early, so you might want to chime in. And also, before you leave, talk a little bit about the selection of meeting time. What would make sense for you on Tuesdays? Mike, Dean. Yeah, maybe he dropped off.
Yeah.
So
I guess in summary, I'm not suggesting you stop development or you know anything like that, but that we consider that standards and you know standards process are part of what we might want out of this, and that we can do that better by having a combination of development, as John Soa says, that having some proof of concept before their standards is always a good idea, so that we just consider that you know part of the potential activity to guard against having something that's out of the mainstream, which you know has happened to many of us here.
Thank you.
John has his hand up.
Yes, I just want to make a couple of comments. One is about Apache, that there are a lot of projects that Apache has taken on, which the Apache Foundation has taken on, which were previously developed to a very high, very considerable extent, and were tested and used for practical applications. And one example is UEMA, which is the universal, I forget what the IMA is, but that's a notation that an application of XML for information exchange about natural languages. And that's the version that IBM developed and used in a number of projects, and including the IBM Watson system. And it uses a frame-based kind of representation that is much more readable, much more compact, and much more efficient than using RDF. Now, that's an example of of something that IBM had developed to a considerable extent. They built it into various applications, and then they decided that the supporting software wasn't really something that they could make a profit on. They couldn't make a profit on, but it would be useful in a more general purpose, and so then they donated it to the Apache Foundation. And I think that's an excellent way to develop things, is really to get a fair amount of use for them and show that they actually work before you even attempt to make them into standards. Now, for Common Logic, we had two projects, which were Conceptual Graphs and KIF, which both of which had a fair amount of usage, and both of which were used as the foundation for Common Logic. And it is true that there were some major changes made to the model theory, but the idea was that the core of it was first-order logic, which had been around for a century and was fairly stable. And and still do have some concerns about the way Common Logic is good old-fashioned first-order logic is handled in Common Logic, and I think that the idea of that there should be a more graceful way to bring in multiple dialects into Common Logic, and I hope the next version of the standard will do so. But so in that case, you can say that Common Logic had a huge backlog of applications, and Pat wants to treat it as something totally different. I want to treat it as just a standardization of the semantic web plus first order logic plus a large variety of other things in one big family. And my interpretation makes Common Logic just an incremental improvement over other things, whereas Pat views it as a totally different thing. So we have a difference in philosophy there. But basically, the point that I want to emphasize is that you need to have practical applications before you ever propose anything as a standard. And I think that RDF and OWL are two examples of systems that did not have a sufficient background of practical applications before they got standardized. And in an example, both Tim Bray and Guha, R.V. Guha, who developed RDF, said it was broken. So that was a premature standard.
Mm-hmm.
And UEMA does not use RDF. IBM, Google, and Yahoo and Amazon, none of them, they use XML, but they don't use RDF.
Right, but we do, there is a repository, namely BioPortal.
Yes.
That does seem to be quite successful. The current OOR sandbox is based on their code. But then there is a problem. BioPortal does not conform to, as far as I know, to any of these existing standards like MDR, that's 11179, or some of these others. Whereas OOR, as from the start, wanted, has always had the intention of being based on existing standards. That's something that Frank mentioned. And of course, that was always part of OOR. So right now we have something of a problem that we're basing our OOR instance on a successful project, to be sure, which is good, but not one that conforms to the existing standards.
Well, that's a good point, and I think that one thing that might be considered is to see whether BioPortal can be brought into those standards. The general idea with perhaps some upward compatible extensions might be brought into those standards. So, for example, Fortran and developed by IBM, and then other companies saw that it was a very successful language, and so they built their own implementations, and then eventually ANSI came in and made an ANSI standard for Fortran that was more or less upward compatible with a wide variety of different implementations. And then since then, there have been many, many, many iterations of ISO standards for Fortran, every one of which adds new features but still keeps that common core. And so there may be a development such as that where you could keep the basic ideas of BioPortal but develop extensions that bring them into the metadata kinds of standards. And by the way, the common logic was developed by the same ISO committee that does metadata, and one argument for that was to use logic as a foundation for the metadata. However, there were some problems with the way with upward compatibility and the whole idea of these segregated and unsegregated dialects that has made it awkward to use common logic as the semantics for, say, the TPTP, the thousands of problems for theorem provers. And one of the things that I think should be done to common logic is to make it more graceful to have conventional first-order logic as a dialect of common logic and to have freely intermixing multiple dialects, including the segregated and unsegregated dialects, mix ontologies in any dialect in a much simpler way than what has to be done with our that current very, very sharp distinction between segregated and unsegregated dialects. So there's a whole I basically like the idea of standards, but I also like the idea of keeping them upward compatible with conventional practices that have proved to be successful.
Okay, good. Good point, Andrew. If we could try to capture that in the in our meeting notes. And the next person with his hand up is Till.
Yes, so I think some of these points that John has mentioned are addressed by ongoing efforts. So there is this OOR architecture diagram where you have storage, you have registry, you have inference, you have workflow, you have a presentation layer, and so on. I think this is a very nice diagram. The only problem being that it is not implemented or realized, and the only real implementation seems to be BioPortal, which is fixed to OAuth, which is not federated, and so on. So, which has many limitations when measuring it against this OOR architecture diagram. And I just want to mention that what we are just doing or trying to do is to set up this OntoHub repository, where we take the BioPortal idea, but we generalize it, that you have common logic there with different dialects, and also UML class diagrams and RDF and other ontology languages, so that it is not bound to a specific ontology language. And the idea would be that we start with something simple, but gradually try to evolve this to meet the OOR architecture. And then I think it could be federated also with existing BioPortal instances, which then could basically be adapted to by say adapting or adding a suitable interface layer to BioPortal, would then make BioPort also an instance of this kind of federated infrastructure. And the semantic background can also be pulled from the Onto IOP standard, where we actually provide a semantic for federated ontologies with different ontology languages, so that this all has a clean model theoretic semantic.
I think that sounds great. What can we do to work more closely with your with OntoHub?
You could try it out. So OntoHub.org, it's running there. We could have discussions about the architecture. I think that would be very useful. I should also present it. I have presented it here in this OOR sessions, but I should present the current development, because there's a lot of ongoing development. And of course, you could also contribute on GitHub, as you have OntoHub, and there is the code. It's also written in Ruby on Rails, like BioPortal. Eventually, we might also want to integrate BioPortal code there. Yeah.
Okay, that sounds good.
I guess, I mean, these would map out at least the next few steps we could take on the software system development side, I think, and sort of focus on it. Till, could you capture that to the chat, please? Since we maybe it's mainly Till, I muted Frank and Mike Bennett as well, so since Till is muting himself, if Frank and Mike, you can do your mute on your own phone, then I'll leave you unmuted also. Is that okay? Right? So it looks like we have a very quiet line now. I want to make one comment about BioPortal being a standard. I think given the situation, given the funding
behind the work. As most of you know, NCBO, which develops BioPortal, is one of, I believe, five roadmap projects that is backed by NIH. Just the NCBO component of it, I mean, if I took information from the web when they published, I mean, they have already been funded like to the tune of $37 million on NCBO, not all five roadmap projects. So that's huge funding behind it. And besides, the sort of Mark Musin's team is also let me take one step back. I mean, NCBO project and also the other related projects from NIH have in their fold people like, I mean, the HL7 and so on, like Chris Schutz projects, I mean, in that fold as well. Besides, they're also doing work for ICD-11, which is a World Health Organization project. So given that, I mean, who is supporting that project, the funding that's going into, they could, I mean, I would be very surprised if they don't become a standard or at the least a de facto standard. So I don't think there's a lot of argument there, but how we might leverage that is a good topic for discussion for us here, I suppose.
When I brought up BioPortal, it wasn't to suggest there was anything wrong with BioPortal. In fact, I think it's a very successful project. The difficulty is that as we move forward to try to use BioPortal in a more general framework than just medical ontologies, there are some issues that we have. Actually, we had several meetings concerning this, specifically about OOR versus BioPortal. So I think it would be very helpful if we followed Till's suggestion to try to use BioPortal as much as possible, but also to do some of our own development. And I think if we investigate that path, and we might find that that's a good path toward not only the software development, but also standards development.
I sort of expanded the ABC to ABCDE now. I mean, if people could see that. So I'm saying, I mean, let's look at the OR initiative as an infrastructure project, software and system development, content, and then a standard API. So that this component falls real well into Corey's suggestion, and then E, which is brought up by Michael, which says, I mean, this is a community, OR is also a community forum, especially, I mean, this is actually part of the mission statement, a community forum for general issues related to ontology repositories. So,
how does infrastructure differ from those
community
others?
Forum?
A, what is A?
Infrastructure is building the physical thing that would hold everybody's ontologies if they want to. Running a server, I mean, managing the running of a server, for example.
Oh, I see. Actually,
that
specifically,
I mean,
running a server.
That the physical running, I mean, we probably, by if we had like a million ontologies on OR, we probably need a whole organization just to run that infrastructure.
No, I just wanted to be clear what that was.
Yes, and I believe, I mean, that's what I thought.
Because infrastructure can be interpreted in a number of ways. Michael, you have your hand up. Phil, are you finished? I think you have.
Yes, essentially, yes.
Yes, I just think talking about standards is just a little either premature and or off the mark. I think that, particularly referring to Buyer Portal as a future standard, I mean, Buyer Portal is an artifact. And so if there is anything to standardize, it would be whatever guarantees that different ontology repositories are interoperable to the extent that they can import ontologies from other repositories so you can actually use them, and that there are protocols for software applications to be able to combine ontologies that reside in different repositories. I think anything beyond that, talking about standards, is, again, either premature and or misguided.
I don't know. Is there anything else beyond that for standards? What else would the OOR be?
The other four things. Assuming, I mean, going back to the A, B, C, D, E.
I was just talking about the standard.
Right.
That's D.
But see, like, standards are already under development for ontology representation languages, ontology relationships, ontology metadata. That's mainly what we would need. I mean, the other thing would be a set of protocols. I'm not really sure if that kind of fits into a standard. It's just a question of identifying what these kinds of protocols are. But you don't want to build it in to a too low a level, or else implementation becomes an obstacle. I mean, BioPortal's implementation is already an obstacle. It will never be extended to incorporate any ontologies beyond OWL. It just won't happen. And, you know, as far as a software artifact goes, I think it might make more sense to kind of decouple an interface from the underlying kind of repository structure. So you can have the look and feel of BioPortal, but underneath be able to do a lot more than BioPortal does or will do.
Right. I think you captured pretty well just those aspects of the OOR standard that we want to focus on. I don't think we want to do any more than that.
Okay, well, I'm seeing comments in the chat here that seem to be taking it further. Or I'm not sure where some of these comments are going.
My intention was just for the sake of interoperability. To achieve that would be quite an accomplishment. And definitely to build on every standard that already exists is another aspect that's very important. So we could just, if you could just capture what you just said in the chat, that would be great.
Okay.
Now, Peter, you have your hand up now?
Yes. So even for standards, I mean, there are at least, I mean, two touch points we're talking about. One is sort of building the standard, standardizing the API, standardizing the set of metadata, standardizing the protocols, and so on. The other touch point is standards as ontology-based standards as the role in the content component. We have been talking about, I mean, if people develop ontologies, standard ontologies, then we want them all to be hosted at some instance of OOR that would make it accessible, openly accessible in a standardized way, or accessible with value-added services, providing that we are going to be developing value-added services on the entire OOR infrastructure. So there are two touch points. But I want to draw us back to maybe a slightly more opportunistic discussion. Yes, I mean, the sort of tweak from going towards irrelevance to a tweak to going into where it's really hot, and the two examples, I mean, there may be more which I would love to hear. I mean, the two that we have been sort of talking about, one is sort of ontology based standard, and the other is the big data, big system side of things, which was the main theme for last year's the last ontology summit. Could we tweak our strategy and tactics to make people believe that if you think ontology-based standards, or if you think big data, big systems, all is really there to help. And I think that would be a good approach, and technically, how could we achieve that? So it's an open question. That's all I have.
Yeah, I think it would be good to post that as a,
I'll post
as a question to consider.
Yeah.
That's under which of these five categories?
Oh, I mean, it's under strategic planning. I mean, how should we map sort of the direction? Should we maybe, since we cannot be spread way too thin, could we focus on a couple of directions and pursue that with vigor? And those two maybe, I mean, ontology-based standards and big data, big systems. So it's orthogonal to the five things.
Well, then it's the sixth, I guess.
No, it's not the sixth. I mean, it's sort of, I mean, you can look at it as sort of a selective domains that we focus on rather than trying to do everything at the same time. I'll try to capture the gist of it into the chat.
Try to capture that. Okay, and Till posted that question about another question. Is there a list of the standards? I believe there is a number of standards were mentioned already at the Ontology Summit that started the OOR effort. And there have been other standards mentioned since then. It would be good to have a single list, though, so it isn't just, these aren't spread around. So if we could do that, that would be really good. All right, John has his hand up.
Yes, one of the things that I have been very unhappy about with artificial intelligence and related phenomena for the past 50 years is that they have been totally outside the mainstream of big system software development. And there'll always be a niche. As long as they will always be niche applications until they really become easy to use and interoperate with big systems. And that's my major complaint about the semantic web. Tim Berners-Lee had good application experience with systems, and I said his proposal of 2000 was far and away superior to what happened to the DAMO project in 2006. And the reason is that the DAMO project was run by a bunch of academics who were totally clueless about how to develop big systems applications. And the reason that there's all this proselytization trying to tell people that ontology is useful is simply a result of the fact that it was never integrated with big systems, and so there's no way to make it interact with big systems. Now, as an example of a successful approach, I would cite Eclipse. Now, Eclipse was designed by IBM as a system for software development that IBM intended to sell in competition with Microsoft's platforms for developing applications for Windows. And when they discovered that they weren't going to make a profit on it, they contributed it to open source and the Eclipse Foundation, which has now become a very important platform for developing anything. And their foundation started with Java, and their implementation was in Java, and they started to support Java applications, but they now support any language, any programming language you want can be and is being supported by Eclipse. And that's an example of something that is industrial strength, and it brings and anything that is done in Eclipse is immediately interoperable with the world. Now, one of the major problems with the semantic web is that it never became integrated with Eclipse. And the major problem with BioPortal is that OWL is still a niche language that you can't interoperate with anything in the mainstream. The problem with the mainstream for the world still is relational databases. The world economy runs on relational databases, and that's not going to change in the next 20 or 30 years. And now, I used to say that SQL was the world's worst notation for logic, but at least the where clause in SQL is first-order logic, and if you look at SQL, there's a huge amount of environmental stuff that has changed, but the where clause has been very stable, and the reason why it's stable is that it's just simple, plain simple first-order logic, with a few little glitches that are a little awkward, but it is first-order logic. And the thing is that people have said for years, including Ted Codd, that the major problem with SQL is that they did not have a type system. And here you have description logics, which are designed to be a type system, and yet OWL was designed in such a way that there was absolutely no way that OWL could be mixed with SQL. Now, I think here's where we should shoot for, is to aim for the mainstream. We want ontologies to be used in the mainstream. The only way they're ever going to be used in the mainstream is if there is a seamless interaction between the ontologies and the development tools such as Eclipse. And that does not mean that you have a little transformer that will copy a relational database into RDF. That is the worst conceivable kind of that is not interoperability. That's saying that here we have this tiny little tail, and we want the whole dog to follow the tail. And that's never going to happen. What you have to do is to take a view that says, we want ontologies to be mainstream. We want to be upward compatible with the semantic web. We want to be upward compatible with BioPortal. We want to be upward compatible with relational databases. We want to be upward compatible with legacy systems. We want ontologies to be used with any and every legacy system that anyone has ever invented. And that means legacy systems that have never had an ontology should be able to work with systems that do have ontologies. It also means that all of these folksonomies and things that they're using for big data should also be able to work with ontologies. And that is the view that has to be supported. We want to say you're never going to sell ontologies to the world until you go to the world and embrace the world as it is and make sure that ontologies work with the world. You can never say, I have this little standard here in the corner for this little niche project, and I want everybody to be compatible with my little niche project, and that will never happen.
Yeah, I totally agree with John, and I guess the two big data, big systems thing and ontology-based standards themes are both sort of the real world and standards, and I guess big systems occupy central spaces there. I totally agree. Is there anything else similarly compelling?
Okay, now one point that I would make is for Onto IOP to accept SQL as one of its languages. Now, there is the where clause in SQL is a version of first order logic, and the first step is to go to Datalog, because Datalog is a clean language that supports the logic-based parts of SQL. SQL has a lot of environmental stuff that should not be part of Onto IOP, but I would say Datalog is a very important language because you can map Datalog queries to SQL queries against a relational database, and it's a clean logic-based language. So I would say bring Datalog into the Onto IOP project, and also make sure that the version of Datalog that is used combines in a smooth way with SQL, and also make sure that you have a type system for Datalog. So I would say a type Datalog so that OWL could be used as one of the languages that you could use for the defining a type system for data log, but there are also others, and among them I recommend formal concept analysis, which is much simpler than OWL, but it supports the 99% of the OWL ontologies that are published on the web, namely just the ones that have a very, very simple set of definitions in the formalism, and you could use the formal concept analysis, which has a large set of tools that are very efficient for automatically generating your type hierarchy. So I would say to expand onto IOP in the direction that says we are going to make the world compatible by having a logic-based approach that includes the SQL. We also want to include OMG. There's been a lot of discussions in the OMG people about how and whether logic could fit in. And there's also a lot of argument that said, well, we want a stack of tools that is widely supported. And my claim would be, let's make common logic the universal logic that will be upward compatible with OWL and upward compatible with the TPTP, the thousands of problems for theorem provers, and upward compatible with data log and SQL and typed data log. And we would have a framework that we could then say, now we will also provide interfaces to large systems. And unless we provide those interfaces so that a programmer who's implementing a large system finds a very simple path to import stuff, they're not going to use it. And the thing that I always say is that if you want people to be virtuous, you have to make virtue the path of least resistance. So that anybody who already is working with Eclipse, for example, would have a path to import these kinds of things as well. Anybody who's working with OWL would have a path to go into a full first-order logic. There are also rule-based languages there was a lot of work on rule-based languages which were being proposed for which Tim Berners-Lee proposed in 2000, and yet the only thing that they have in the semantic web now is RIF, and the only implementation of RIF is for this teeny tiny subset of Hornclaw's subset that's compatible with OWL. And that is never going to attract Prolog users. It's never going to attract people who have rule-based systems. There's a huge community of rule-based people. They're never going to adopt that teeny subset that is compatible with OWL. We have to say we are going to emphasize interoperability. We're going to do for the what Tim Berners-Lee proposed in 2000, not what the DAML project produced in 2006. And I think that's the path to support the world.
If I may interrupt, I mean, that's great. Yeah, John, please capture that. Some of them are sort of slightly more granular than the strategic planning exercise for today, and there are also others. Since this is an OOR meeting and not, for example, the Onto IOP meeting, some of them should be brought up at the Onto IOP meeting for further discussion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, John, it isn't entirely true that DAML was ignorant of these issues. I mean, I was part of DAML.
Yes.
And I did bring these points up. It's just that they didn't listen to me.
Well, that's the point. I was not part of DAML. And I wasn't completely aware of how things developed until I talked to various people who were involved in it, and then I just went to the web and I looked at the succession of reports. There's Tim Berners-Lee's original proposal from February 2000, and that is something that when in around 2000, 2001, I really was enthusiastic about the semantic web because they still had Tim Berners-Lee talking along the lines of that 2000 report in which he proposed this language called SWELP, Semantic Web Logic Language, which was a superset of propositional logic, first-order logic, and higher-order logic. And Pat Hayes was involved with that, and that's one of the inspirations for broadening the semantics of common logic to support propositional logic, first order logic, higher order logic, and RDF, and put that all into this L base, the logic base, which Pat Hayes and R.V. Guha worked together to produce as a logic base for RDF and all the semantic web languages. And what happened is that there are certain people who had this description logic stuff. The DLs, I always said the DLs are nice languages as a supplement in a hybrid with more expressive logics. And as long as you treat them as part of a hybrid, they're fine, but you cannot use a DL language by itself. It's just inadequate to support an implementation. But if you use it in conjunction with other things, then you can support an implementation. But the people who've been supporting OWL have these blinders on. They are totally clueless about how the real world works, and they were trying to make OWL the be-all and end-all of the semantic web, and it just cannot do that. It cannot support that, and for that reason, these ontologies, you get people like Clay Shirky, who is who's fairly reasonable in a lot of his assumptions, and he says that ontologies are overrated. And I say that, well, what's overrated is OWL, and if you broke out of that OWL straitjacket, you could support the world, namely with a typed Ted Codd. 30 years ago said that you have to have typed SQL, and he had proposals for typed SQL. They never got them implemented, but if you bring in a typed data log which maps to standard SQL and then also maps to OWL and any other hierarchy that you want to support, and maps to first order logic, and maps to common logic, then you can support the world. So that's basically my point that I've been pushing.
Okay. But, yeah, if you could try to capture some of that for us, that would really be helpful.
Okay, I could write that and send that in as a note to the list.
Great. That would be really, really useful. Michael is next.
Yeah, this is all kind of relatively irrelevant for OOR. Look, we're not making commitments to particular ontology or presentation languages, et cetera. The OR is meant to handle any of these. And so we're not, you know, choosing sides in ontology language battles. We have already committed to having repositories support OWL ontologies, RDF, common logic, et cetera. And then if you want to even talk about map relationships between ontology languages, again, that's being done by another standards project, not what's going on within OOR. It's just that OOR wants to be able to utilize these existing and developing standards. That's why the whole thing of standards, I think, has really drawn us off, completely off topic here, because I don't think that's what we're about.
Okay, I agree with what Michael just said, but I would also say that somebody has to look at the big picture. Tim was looking at the big picture in 2000, and the DAML project was looking at what it was possible for them to implement in a five-year time frame with the people that they had on hand. So I don't blame them for coming up with a version of a description logic as part of the layer cake, but what happened is that the rest of the layer cake got lost. And somebody has to look at the big picture, because if you don't look at the big picture, you're just going to be implementing niches. And collection of niches never add up to the mainstream. You have to say the mainstream is where the action is, and if you want to be relevant, you must be able to bring together all these niches within a framework that also supports the mainstream. So that's... So I think that, yes, I agree that this idea is irrelevant. On the other hand, nothing else is going to be relevant if you don't develop an approach that can bring it into the mainstream.
Okay. Thanks. I think that's something we definitely want to bear in mind. Peter, you're next.
Yes, we are only 15 minutes to the end of the meeting, so I suggest we use the next 10 to discuss, what is the, what we conclude on. So to bring up a concrete proposal, I propose that in at least the midterm, short to midterm future, that we refocus efforts of OOR to revolve around one big data, big system thing. So whatever we do, I mean, around those five A, B, C, D, E facets, we try to make it relevant to big data, big systems. And two, make it revolve it around ontology-based standards. So these are two, and I'm open to other suggestions on things that are similar to these one, two. Maybe there's a three or a four. Or, I mean, of course, people could reject these and suggest alternatives. But the next 10 minutes, let's at least try to reach some strategic decisions that would tweak how we're going to deal with things.
So, Peter, are you referring? How does this relate to your comment? You're in the chat at 11:10. Issues A through E, because to me that kind of is more relevant to like the strategic planning that goes, you know, kind of figuring out exactly what the mission is of OR in a way, and prioritizing them and allocating resources for them. How does what you just said now relate to your posting at 11:10?
Okay, those five facets of what the OR initiative is, the suggestion to revolve our work around one and two, big data and ontology-based standard, is sort of the instantiation of what those five things could be. For example, if we were to develop content or develop infrastructure, and we could do it any way we want, then maybe we put more focus into developing it to cater to big data or big systems, or develop it to cater more to ontology-based standards. Or if we have efforts to drive content, we drive it around people who are creating big data or people who are creating standard ontologies. So these two things are sort of orthogonal to one another. I don't know if I'm getting...
So you're basically saying using those two areas as
focus.
Drivers?
Yes,
for,
okay. As sort of implementation foci.
Okay.
But the five things, A, B, C, D, E, is still what makes up the OOR initiative, and I don't think anyone sort of could take over as the OOR initiative. I think all five are there and should be there, and they make up OOR.
Could you make that as a concrete proposal?
I did. We refocus our OR effort to revolve around our themes like one and two. So people could accept this or reject this, or suggest three or
is
four.
And or?
And.
And.
If you,
these are both pretty big areas.
Right. I mean, maybe.
Not exactly
then, Maybe people can say we can't do both. I mean, we could only pick one. But
yeah, I'm just questioning that this is a focus. It seems to be spreading it out. Someone else have any opinion about that?
Yeah, my pen just typed one in.
Okay, Mike suggested two.
Yes. Going to expand on that?
Please.
So Peter was asking, do we all endorse these two things? And then I waited while you discussed that. But basically, I would strongly endorse, in particular, ontology-based standards for the following reason. That as different industry communities of practice who have been making standards for years in XML and UML and so on, start to realize, A, the importance of framing their business concepts in a business-facing way, and B, start to make use of the opportunities that are presented for doing that with languages such as OWL, notations like ODM and so on. And very conscious of John's point that, you know, OWL may not do everything, but it's there and people are starting to use it. So we will start to see industry-based meaningful concepts coming out of different industries. And the big and very immediate challenge is interoperability between these. Because without that, the ability to reuse data in big data resources and so on, that very much depends on common semantics. And you don't solve the semantic problem by talking about syntaxes. You solve the semantic problem by talking about semantics. And I think if the OOR can provide some sort of leadership on the semantic aspect of interoperability, i.e. how do you pull together an industry standard over here about geopolitical concepts and an industry standard over there about date and time concepts and an industry standard over here about building maintenance requirements and one over here about real estate or something. You know, somebody needs to show leadership in that, and that either is or isn't the OOR, but it's a huge opportunity and one that OOR should be well placed to do something about. So that's my view.
To comment on that, I totally agree. And OOR is not going to be a leader, but a supporter to that effort. The leadership actually has already emerged, and it is a collaboration between, as you can see, the OASIS, OMG, various ISO groups, IAOA, Ontolog, and OOR as sort of one of the among one of the co-organizers. So I think we could still address both. Especially the first one, big data, big system, that's much more relevant to a lot more people than just standards developers. And a lot of the things John brought up earlier could find a place in when we try to tackle that big data, big systems and how OOR could help scenario. So I still want to solicit support on adopting the sort of refocus around those two things. I mean, not everyone wants to do standards, but presumably if we have these two things, I mean, that would capture almost everyone's attention one way or the other, or both. Agreement, disagreement.
What's the consensus about this? Do people all feel this is a good way to tweak our strategy? So I'll take that.
Can you summarize the speak?
Yes?
Could you repeat?
I said, yeah. Could you summarize what you consider to be the tweak?
It's right there. He just put it on the chat. That's the proposal. Is there anyone who objects to this proposal?
I don't object. I'm just wondering if it's. I mean, it would make sense in the context of a funding proposal, for example. I'm not really sure how much of an impact it'll have on Peter's issues facets A through E. And I'm not against this idea. I'm just wondering how it will actually kickstart things in a way, or kick restart, whatever the word would be.
Assuming we do A through E in parallel,
uh-huh.
There's some of us who are building servers, some of them designing APIs and architecture, there's some of us who are writing code, presumably, hopefully, some of us are doing driving content, I mean, trying to convince, let's say, voice submissions to host their things onto OOR, or talking to librarians, and so on. I think, I mean, those are being done in parallel. And while we could try to convince, let's say, any or all people to submit content, if we now adopt this have consensus to refocus around these things, then we'll spend more time trying to convince the standards people to host their standard ontologies with us. Then we will try to go to libraries and suggest people who already have Dublin Core taxonomically populated index spaces to populate on ours. So I guess we are only 3 minutes from the end, assuming there's no serious objection. Let's say we have consensus, shall we?
Okay,
then.
Yeah.
I'm saying I really don't know that this is well defined enough for me to say whether I would support it or not.
Yeah, I have a similar kind of feeling. I'm not sure how this really changes anything that we're doing.
I think
it's not really operational.
For example, if we go with big data, big systems, that would mean, I mean, big systems, for example, as John says, I mean, are developed around, let's say, relational databases. Then we will need to somewhat tweak some of the things that we're doing to, for example, instead of catering to R, to start catering to maybe RDBM as schema.
Well, maybe our problem is more thousands of little systems than a few big systems. I'm really not sure of that.
So if we don't have consensus, we could suggest...
No, it's not... My issue is that you didn't actually make it clear what the impact would be, and now you're starting to do so.
We don't know. I mean, I think this is like 50,000 feet. If we have consensus on that, then we can still sort of drilling down and go to 10,000, 5,000, 200 feet.
So I think what this really is just the start.
To strategically refocus. We don't know the details yet. We don't. We're obviously not talking about details now.
So the next step is start looking at those details.
Absolutely.
All right. So that's good. And so we should, in this last minute, then agree that we should move in the direction of determining those details, to elaborating on exactly what this new focus will result in from, you know, from the point of view of each of those A through E parts that were mentioned before. So we need to look at the impact of this on those parts. And then we'll have a real strategy. How does that sound?
Absolutely.
Okay, great. So I think we've had, we just reached the limit of our time.
We want to discuss meeting time. There are two on the table. The normal 8:30 Pacific, 11:30 Eastern time that we used to have, used to run on every Tuesday, or today's time, which is like 1 hour earlier, 7:30 Pacific, 10:30 Eastern. The way I see it is, if we move it 1 hour early, we get Till to be able to join us. But then Mike Bennett would not be able to join us until half an hour later. Is that correct? Assuming everyone else who didn't say anything is okay with either one. Is that a good assumption?
Yeah,
it's fine with me.
All right.
My standing call sometimes finishes earlier, so don't let me influence things.
So if you make a call, would you want to do it like today, 7:30, or would you like you like us to move it maybe half an hour later? That would accommodate you, but we might lose till early. My Bennett.
Yes, I come free at 8 a.m. Pacific, but I can sometimes finish earlier, and if I'm the only one, then I would question whether it's worth moving it for me. So, up to you.
Yes, so if you don't mind, then I would make a call, and let's move this the normal slot to something like today.
Okay.
Okay, for everyone.
Sure.
Okay. All right. That would be it. Great meeting. So thank you very much. And let's hope starting from the next. Oh, we're supposed to plan another event as well. But since we need to drill down onto this, so maybe the next OR meeting will take one or two notches deeper into that same conversation that we're having today. Next week, next Tuesday, possibly.
Let's see, next Tuesday?
Oh, next Tuesday is this week.
Next Tuesday is this week, yeah.
So maybe we want to skip next Tuesday, and then on the 20th we continue this conversation, drilling down.
So it's in 2 weeks.
Yes,
November 20th.
In 2 weeks, the 20th. Right.
Okay, great.
Great. Thank you.
So let's now adjourn. Thanks to everybody.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye, everyone.
Thanks, Peter. Bye.